Hello, we've been expecting you. It's true because I'm Mother Goose, and I heard you walk up. Anyway, welcome to the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Whether you're a charmer, a deary, an evil regal, a kick-ax Team 7, or whatever you are all welcome here. Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California are the hosts. They are just the best. Oh, but come in, dears. Now, you can listen with the rest of us, but don't be shy. Here, this magical voice will tell you how to be part of the podcast.
Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626.
Okay. Are you comfortable? Got your cocoa with whipped cream and cinnamon? Okay. Here comes Jeff and Colleen.
Hola, chicos y chicas. She needs to get her mic over there.
Well, yeah. Can I get some stuff going here? So, please, proceed.
Hi, all. It's so nice to be back with all of you. We have about 12 fans going, but it's not 110, so I cannot complain.
No, it's just true.
A little warm. It's hot.
Dude, it's hot. I'm sorry. If I wanted to live in Arizona, I would move there.
All right. I will add the intro later, so we will just dive in. It's been a long time, so big hugs to everybody.
Yay.
Big hugs, and we missed you guys last week, but we'll be talking more about what went on last week.
Yes, we will.
So Ima loves a throat punch. I hope she gets a black belt in throat punching. Is that possible? Can you do that? All right.
Yeah.
So, and Thailand is here. Stella, thank you so much for joining us. This is fantastic.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And I'm hoping that maybe some of our Disney friends might be joining us as well.
Oh, that would
the
be
first
kinda
time
cool.
is always kind of tough for folks to kind of get down all the little things.
Yeah.
So we have a packed show. We have so much news and things to go over. And we have a call in from a very special town up north, our friends to the north.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, very, very excited about that. So
cheers.
To begin our little show tonight, I'm going to play a comedy bit. And the comedy bit, a little backdrop, is now we saw Anakin in the Star Wars saga. Anakin fall in love with Padme, and they're, you know, kind of wooden dialogue thing. Well, we never really saw Anakin meet Padme's parents. Now, you got to go with me here, because Padme's parents in the comedy bit are a little Western, let's say. Let's say they live in Texas, and maybe they meet in some kind of country Western bar. Maybe. So anyhow, this is Anakin and Padme meet the parents.
You are watching the Oxygen Network's tragic love story marathon. Now back to our mini-series, Sith Bride, the Padme Amidala story. Today's episode, Anakin meets Padme's parents.
Mom! Dad! Let me introduce you. This is Anakin.
Well now, Anakin, so glad to meet you. Put her there, partner.
Yep, okay.
Hey, ow! You got quite a grip on you, boy.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Annie, you're crushing Daddy's hand. Let go.
Let her go a little bit.
Sorry.
Now I can breathe, thank you.
He has a bionic hand.
The grip adjuster's on the fritz, and I've been meaning to take it in for a tune-up, but I've been so busy with the Clone Wars and all.
Well, Annie, how nice to meet you.
Shake?
You know what? I'm not really thirsty. No, how about a hug?
Well, okay.
You got really strong. Ouch. Help me. Let her go, Anakin. She's turning blue. Let her go.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's so okay. It really is, Anakin. Okay.
It's the
bionic hand with the broken grip adjuster. We know.
Well, anyway, dinner is just about ready. Would you all care to come into the dining room? There's a space for each one of you. And I've even set out.
It smells delicious, Mom.
Thank you, Padme. You know, it's a nice, big Bantha roast. Father brought it back from a business trip on Tatooine. Now,
Annie's from Tatooine.
And when I called him and he picked up the phone, it was a woman's voice, but...
Oh, Tatooine. You know, Annie's from Tatooine.
It doesn't matter.
Tatooine? Oh,
I'm sure.
Annie is from Tatooine, too.
Is that so? So, your parents stayed in the moisture trade?
Slaves, actually.
Dad, why don't you carve the Bantha? You're so good at that, you big, strong man. And I bet you carved a Bantha with that other lady, but anyway.
Wait, Mom. Let Annie do it.
Well, Annie.
I bet this brings back memories, huh? A nice, juicy Bantha roast, just like home.
Absolutely. Well, Banthas live out on the deep desert. I never saw them much, except with the Sand People. The Sand People, who rob and murder and slaughter the innocent. The Sand People that killed my mother. They're like animals. I slaughtered them like animals. I hate them.
Stop. Annie, stop.
Oh, my. Look what I did. I annihilated that one.
It's okay, son. There's always Red Lobster.
Coming up. Annie goes on a rampage when he learns that the Sizzler salad bar isn't all you can eat. When the tragic love story marathon continues, and stay tuned for the Bounty on Love, the Aura Sing story, only on Oxygen.
All right. So, a little Star Wars comedy.
Yes.
So, just a little reminder is... We're all fans here of Once Upon a Time. Some people like Charmers, let's say, and some people like Team Seven, and some people like, Evil Regals. We're all together tonight, you know, like Tumblr things and the Twitter things and all that. Let's just set that aside. We're all one big once-er-happy family on the live show.
We are.
Yes, absolutely. So anyhow, we're going to jump into the news. Now, I'm going to be doing a little disclaiming on this first story. Well, let me give you a picture of what's happened. We're going to do some news. Got some comedy bits. Already played one. We have some emails, voicemails. We have a call in. There's a thing I'm going to do. It's called Guess Who's Singing. This is going to blow you away. We're going to play a little bit from Raphael Sabarge's interview with Jane Espenson, and we're going to have an OUAT quiz. That's a lot.
It's a full show.
That's a lot. That is a lot. So we're going to start with huge news, big news. And what's interesting about some of this early stuff is I tried to find where this came from. I couldn't find it. So I'm going to say supposed extras on the Once Upon a Time Blu-ray. Because I can't confirm. I've looked around. I can't find it. So anyway, some of the extras supposedly will be included. Fairy Tales in the Modern World. It says this exciting feature allows viewers to explore the genesis of Once Upon a Time as they learn about the creative approach of adapting a world of fairy tales into the wholly original world of the show. Building character. From start to finish, follow the creation, conceptualization, casting, clothing, and filming of the beloved character Belle, played by Emily D. Robin, from the ground up. Welcome to Storybrooke. Jennifer Goodwin takes audiences on a tour of Storybrooke, Maine. Jealous? I am. Both the town on the show and its real inspiration, a small town outside of Vancouver. Boy, I wish I knew where that town was. I do. The story I remember, Snow White. The show's actors share their childhood memories of the beloved fairy tale Snow White, illustrated to original storybook graphics. The fairest bloopers of them all, often hilarious outtakes fans won't want to miss. Deleted scenes. 9 deleted scenes. Many deleted scenes we've seen pictures of from behind the scenes of ABC. So it's kind of already know some of them. Like a lot of them take place in the rabbit hole with Archie. They cut most of his scenes out. Audio commentaries, 5 insightful episode commentaries, including, why don't they have 22?
I don't know.
Including co-creator executive producers Edward Kitsis and Adam Horowitz, writer Jane Espenson, and cast members including Jennifer Goodwin, Josh Dallas, Robert Carlyle.
Ooh.
Yep. There you go. Lana Perea and the evil Regal's cheer from the mountaintops, and Jennifer Morrison. In addition to the DVD bonus features, the Blu-ray release also includes Once Upon a Time Origins, giving viewers the origins of some of the characters. So, yes, as far as I can tell, those are extras for the Blu-ray. I tried to find... It's almost like Watergate, that they trade little notes in the back... back alley somewhere.
Right.
Hey, I've got a list of DVD extras. Who are you? Oh, I can't say. So it's just kind of interesting. So we'll talk about that. Captain Hook has been cast as Colin O'Donohue. Colin O'Donohue has appeared in Showtime's The Tudors and was in last year's horror film The Right. So that's huge. And a Mystery Man guest star has been cast. Michael Raymond James from True Blood and Walking Dead has been cast as a, we don't know, but probably lots of discussions everywhere about who he is.
Right.
So this year at Dragon Con, it is a Once Upon a Time a Palooza. A little bit. Tony Amendola is going to be there. Geppetto, Marco. Lee Ehrenberg is going to be there. Dreamy, Grumpy, Leroy. Raphael Sabarge is going to be there. Jiminy Cricket, Archie Hopper, and writer-producer Most Awesomest, Jane Espenson, will be there
at
Dragon Con. And so I will jump ahead. Just remind me if I repeat myself. But Karen Patrick met Amy Acker.
Patrickin.
Met Amy Acker today.
I heard that. That's really awesome.
Yep. Yep. So she tweeted out a photo, 7 bombing, and pretty cool. Pretty cool that she met Amy.
Yeah.
So Giancarlo Esposito sounded much more upbeat than his Breaking Bad character, Gustavo Gus Fring, discussing his Emmy nomination on Thursday morning. "I'm over the moon and definitely honored," Esposito said, from a Wilmington, North Carolina, where he's filming Revolution, a new NBC drama that will air this fall. "I screamed, I cried. This is the culmination of a long career in television and film." He was in Ray. I didn't know that. And we saw Ray the other day. And I looked and I said, that's Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah, and it was. That was really cool.
And he continues, "And I'm so glad to be in this incredible group of actors." And that's kind of what's good and bad about, you know, having actors on multiple shows. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know, fantastic actors, but it's like, you know, what if Once Upon a Time takes off or whatever? You know, like Emily DeRavin, they were kind of waiting for her to not be picked up on another show, and then they brought her back.
I think they were worried that she was going to be, and that's why they weren't sure where to go with it until that show's pilot got canceled or not picked up. And then she was free, and so they snapped her up, which was really smart on their part.
Yep. And Richard Schiff, King Leopold, is going to be in Glengarry Glen Ross, and it's a play that's going to be in the Schoenfeld Theater on October 16th. and will open October 11th, directed by Daniel Sullivan.
Oh, very cool.
So there's a lot of things. He's also in the next Superman movie.
Mm.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like it's going to be really good.
Yep. So another big piece of news, and I think Sarah can help me with this. There's a new filming location for Once Upon a Time, and it's Osoyoos.
That's what I
in
understand.
Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Osoyoos is a kind of an arid place, kind of deserty. There's a little bit of water there, but I put up a blog post with a helicopter flyover. And for what it's worth, my money's going on Agrabah. That's where they're going to film scenes.
That would make sense.
With those characters.
Yeah.
And the genie.
Which, well, are they going to be able to get him back? Because, remember, he's on Revolution now, so.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm interested to see what Revolution does.
Yeah, yeah. But all I bet right. you if they do, maybe we'll see like Aladdin, Jasmine, Jafar. Who knows what we'll see if they go Agrabah with it.
Yep. So.
I want to know who's going to play Apu.
What?
I'm sorry, Abu. The monkey, right?
Yeah.
From Aladdin.
What's in the drink over there?
Diet
Coke. Okay.
What, but seriously, don't you think that's funny? That just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. So
we got a cricket. Why not have a monkey?
Fair enough. So,
what's her?
What?
There's our little friend doing. Oh,
ladies,
she's doing
over here.
Great. Okay.
She's good.
Just
she's
keeping
sleepy.
An eye on our little puppy uppy over there.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jennifer Goodwin, they interviewed her, and here's some snippets from that. While others like to socialize on auditions with the competition to help calm her nerves, Goodwin likes to put her earphones on and ignore everyone around her. The Walk the Line star tells a Hollywood Reporter, "I'm terrified. I don't want to offend anyone, and I don't want anyone affecting me. And so I seriously become a hermit inside myself. I don't know who I'm sitting in rooms with." And, you know, part of acting is focus.
Sure it is.
And I would imagine that in an audition room, there's other people up for the role that are trying to throw you off.
Oh, I would bet. I bet there's some nice little competition there going on.
So it's kind of like, you know, going for a job interview.
I mean, think about it. You have to be somebody other than yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you know these people and you get to be friends with them and you're supposed to act really mean and nasty and vicious towards them, it makes it tough to, like, hang out with them and be friends with them, I would imagine.
Yeah.
For some people. Right. I know I'd have a tough time.
So she continues on the subject of season. Okay, let's see here. There will be a lot more butt-kicking, she told AccessHollywood.com of her character Snow, Mary Margaret, who along with the rest of the residents of Storybook remembered their fairy tale past in the season one finale. So I think she's talking about season two.
Yes.
There will be fight training involved, she added. We will be going back on Sunday, so this week we will be getting things underway. I understand, too, that Jennifer Morrison's done a lot of training as well as Jamie Chung.
Mm.
I think there's a lot of horse riding training and that kind of thing.
Right.
All right.
Because I got to ride horses.
Sure. And imagine that takes a lot of skill.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like...
Well, riding a horse is not... It's not... Everyone thinks it's super easy, and to ride properly, it's not that easy. You have to sit properly, and you have to remember to keep your feet in the right place, and because horses are very, very sensitive, and... I grew up with horses, so that's why I'm saying this. I know from experience.
Yep, let me.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But horses are awesome. They're like better than dogs. They obey so much better than dogs do sometimes.
Oh, I'm so happy that our dog is quiet.
I know, she's a good girl.
That's nice.
She's being very sweet.
All right, so... Mm-hmm. Jennifer Goodwin may be better known as Snow White in her ABC show Once Upon a Time, but she was rocking a seriously red look for the press at San Diego Comic-Con this year. Perhaps it's just a small indication of how Snow, a.k.a. Mary Margaret, will be adjusting how she represents herself. That's an interesting kind of nugget there. So now that the curse has been broken in the television show's Storybrooke hometown, fans will see a lot of growth from every character as they learn their own magic abilities during season two. However, magic operates differently in this world, so we don't necessarily know what the effects of using magic will be, Goodwin said. That was from hitfix.com.
Hmm.
Pam from True Blood, or as we know her, Maleficent, or Fire Breath, I guess.
Fire Breath.
Well, she was a dragon.
Well, yeah, but Fire Breath, wow.
Well.
Anywho.
Kristen Baer von Straaten, did I say that right?
Baer von Straaten?
Yeah, that?
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. Is making an anti-poaching documentary.
Nice.
So she will leave for Kenya, actually this month, where she'll spend 4 weeks filming a documentary about the effort to stop elephant ivory and rhino.
What's in your glass?
Horn poach. Something I haven't had a chance to drink yet. So, anyway, it's maybe a cause dear to her South African husband's family. His grandfather was a professor of physiology who helped treat, relocate, and save wildlife.
Oh, very cool.
Just as the experts need to help keep elephants and rhinos from going extinct, Baer von Straaten needs help to fund her film project. So I'm going to, if you are open to it, you can give to her Kickstart. And it's going to be only for 7 more days. So if you listen after a certain point in time, it'll be closed. But I wanted to give folks an opportunity to. All right. Jennifer Morrison, they were talking to her. And in regards to Mulan, she's lovely. Jennifer Morrison, who plays Emma Swan, told Access at Comic-Con of Jamie, who she's worked with before. I've heard the most amazing things about Sarah. Really just heard over and over again that she's just extraordinary. So I'm really excited to meet her. And Amy Acker, who we've talked about before, is going to be in Josh Whedon's remake of Much Ado About Nothing. She's going to play Beatrice. And I turn it over to my lovely, wonderful wife because she knows more about Shakespeare than I do. Who was Beatrice?
Much Ado About Nothing. Beatrice was the cousin of the main character hero. And she was actually the one who was very sassy, and she was a sharp-tongued little devil woman. She was awesome. Actually, if you check out the movie Much Ado About Nothing, Kenneth Branagh plays Benedict, who is the, I can't even think. He's the counterpart in the men's group of Beatrice, and they are fantastic. Emma Thompson was Beatrice, and she was amazing. But then, you know, hey. And anyway, it's a great movie. Great, great, great movie. Funny, funny stuff and intrigue. And ironically, and I know a lot of people don't care for him, but I honestly thought he was actually pretty decent. I mean, I wouldn't give him an Oscar or anything, but Keanu Reeves wasn't terribly bad. I mean, horrible, horrible bad in the movie. He wasn't fantastic, but he was decent. Anyway.
Yeah, so Josh Whedon is a god amongst many TV and filmish folks because he saved the Avengers, and a lot of his TV work is just, you know, people just can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I need to send a quick tweet out. Hold on, please. I'd have the dog talk, but she's sleeping.
She is. She's totally like out. But you know what? She was barking her little head off for no
That's
reason
true.
Earlier. That was kind of funny.
All right. We will continue to go through our news items.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So we now have buttons.
Button. Who's got the button?
There you go. See, that's why I married her. We're almost the same. We almost say the same thing
at the
same time.
And you know what? Every time I see buttons, I do think of that. I can't help it.
So
it's funny.
What I like to do is if you're coming to the meetup in September, I want to give you a button personally. That seems fair.
Right.
But if you cannot make it to the meetup in September, I want to mail you your own button so that you feel part of what's happening in a way. And I also want to send you some extras and some business cards for the podcast. So if you meet anyone that loves Once Upon a Time like you, that you can give them a button and kind of spread the love and introduce new folks to the podcast.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and there may be some other little goodies inside too.
Yes. Yep. So please email me an address where you can get mail, and I will mail it to you. So you can email it feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Now, in this digital age, this technological age, there's all this kind of mistrust. I don't know this guy. I don't want to give him. And that's why I said an address where you can get mail.
Right.
So whatever you feel comfortable with, as long as you can get mail from that place. Okay. So last weekend, we had a fantastic time.
We so did. Oh my gosh. One of the most fun weekends we've had in a long time.
We participated in the Friends of the Magic 2012 meetup. And that was brought together by Paul and Terry Berry. Paul Berry is the man behind the phenomenally successful Window to the Magic podcast. And it is generally in-park audio and some interviews here and there. But it is it's an incredible show. Paul is very, very gracious and kind. And he was kind enough to let us host one section of the meetup. And we had a Snow White ride portion of the meetup. And so we hosted that part of it. And if you have
Don't give away too many secrets.
No. But if you have your... Did you want to throw out one or two of the questions or something?
No.
Okay.
We might be using those same questions for our meetup.
So we were so happy that people actually showed up and wanted to ride with us. And we rode the ride, had a great time. And then after that, we asked, in my estimation, some of the hardest questions about that ride. And it's kind of like the questions that we ask here on the show or in the latter part of the, the podcast. But people were getting them right and left. And I really thought, this is, there's no way. But, I mean, it was amazing. I think there was one where they just kind of go, I don't know.
Yeah, they were like stumped. I don't know. Which is good because I wanted to make sure. But some of the stuff that I thought that was going to stump them, they were like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Floored by the fact that they were that that observant.
You know, and I'm going to say this, and some people listen to the podcast and they go, Jeff, you know, quit being shocked that you know, people listen and like the podcast and all that. But I am. I walked up to this guy, and he was in the Snow White ride. I have a lot of friends on Facebook, okay? As well as most people do, I think. Well, if you have a podcast, you do. And so I looked down the line, and we were kind of talking about the show, and I saw this guy looking back at me, smile on his face when we were kind of talking about, and we do quizzes and comedy, and he's nodding his head like, yeah.
Yeah.
And his name was Rhett. And we got to talk to him, and he was the coolest guy.
Oh,
lives
totally.
In Utah.
Yeah.
Going to be a nurse.
No, physician's assistant.
The physician's,
not
what
the same
she
as a
said.
Nurse.
Okay. But it was just so incredible. And he asked a question of me that I think maybe some people do. Is one of the things we do here is at the end of the show or maybe on a tweet or something, we say, we're sending out big love. And he said, now, do you send out big love because of Jennifer Goodwin in the show? And I said, no. I said, it's, you know, it's just kind of an extension of you know, saying that we love you guys. It's big love, and it's love that you can pass on. And you just kind of just said, oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nicest guy. You know, we had a number of times we could talk to him. There was another lady up north. Her name is Kirsten, mm-hmm. that we were talking to.
Yeah.
And another guy, David from...
From
Michigan. There's about 50 Dave million Michigan. Davids in Michigan.
I know, Dave,
and they're all
Michigan.
Kind of drawn to it. That's not a problem.
No, but it was just kind of funny that we know so many all of a sudden now. Like two or three now. It's kind of funny. But,
so
yeah.
We had Daniel Hale.
Yes.
Cool dude.
Yeah.
He's one of the hosts of the Diz Geek podcast.
Yes.
And he retweeted my tweet about the show tonight, so he may be in the chat room. Great guy.
Or he may just be listening and not in the chat, because we do have listeners who listen and are not able to chat. So, so hey to all you who are just listening and are not in the chat room. Thanks for tuning in. But yeah, no, Daniel's way cool. He's such a cool dude. And we're going to actually, we'll be seeing him at our meetup.
Okay. Clinton from the Comedy Forecast got a chance to kind of catch up with him.
That was really fun.
And Scott
and Tracy
and
Morris.
Tracy from the Disney Indiana podcast. Mm-hmm. We got a chance to sit at the table, eat with them. Mm-hmm. Brunch with the Brits host. We had a chance to talk to just so many great Disney podcasters that I've kind of met here and there before, and it was really nice to kind of reacclimate with them.
Mm-hmm. And, it was really cool. It was really, really cool meeting all these people. It really was.
I have to say, and again, I'm breaking so many rules tonight. Some people say, Jeff, don't get personal. I'm going to get personal. One of the things that is hard on podcasting with a married couple is sometimes the woman is the widow, the podcast widow.
That is true.
Because the husband just is roaring forward. And I think husbands kind of focus more and are more driven with a technological kind of a thing. Sometimes women are and wives are, but mostly it's men and husbands. But I saw Colleen just take the reins of it, you know, and she's been really kind of, you know, shy.
Well,
you know,
okay,
I mean,
so let's face the reality.
Yeah.
I am actually very, very shy.
Yep.
I'm very, you know, I don't want to say I'm standoffish, but I'm very shy until I meet somebody, and then I'm okay once I kind of get to know you. But I am very shy. I know people don't believe that because you hear me on the podcast, but it's true. In person, I'm not, you know, but I can turn it on if I need to and pull myself out of that shell. So I'm able to do that, and I did that last weekend, and I had the most fun ever. It was just a great, great weekend.
You were great. I just want to tell you that.
And by the way, if I'm not saying anything, I'm not typically mad. I'm just observing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's just me. I observe a lot.
No, you know, and some people, you know, some people call me Papa Podcast, right? And some people call Colleen Mama Podcast.
Yep.
I saw the mama. And it was so nice because there were certain points where the people kind of didn't know what to do. And Colleen said, okay, come over this way. You know, we're going to meet, and kind of laid out what was going on. Yeah. And it was just so, so nice to watch. So it was just, it was really a nice weekend. Very hot.
It was very hot. It was very hot. I'm sorry. I'm laughing because the chat room's cracking me up. They're like, a lot of people are like, I'm the same. And then the whole thing of, would you be shy with Carlisle? I would not have words if I met Robert Carlisle. I seriously would not know what to say.
Yeah.
I would feel like the biggest idiot on the planet. So anyway, but yeah, no.
Now.
Oh, so back to the weekend.
Right.
It was
so
awesome.
Two of the most incredible. Now, it's one thing to be a part of a cool Disney meetup and represent Once Upon a Time, which we did. And it's another thing to have dinner and look up and see.
No, okay, let's just put it this way. She's the live-action reference model for Tinkerbell.
Yep.
She was unbelievably amazing.
Yep.
sweetest, sweetest thing ever. Love her. Her name is Margaret Carey, and she is Tinkerbell. And I know everyone's like, well, yeah. No, she's literally Tinkerbell because they actually had her do some pantomiming of things so they could draw her. And when she asked, you know, the director, how should I play her? You know, is she scared? Is she shy? Is she sassy? He goes, play her you. That's why we hired you. And she's like, well, I can do that. So she played herself. So Tinkerbell is Margaret. And it was just unbelievable to actually, you know, stand there and talk to her and be cute and funny. And she's just a hoot and a half. I mean, she's just a fascinating lady to talk to. And so if you get a chance, check out her website, TinkerbellTalks.com.
Yep.
And she's got a book coming out, and she's got the first three chapters, I think, or three of the chapters, maybe not the first three, but three of her chapters on her webpage. Scroll to the bottom and it lets you read a sneak peek. And just fascinating, interesting information. She's totally amazing. So, you know, that was an experience. That was absolutely an experience. So that was
it's Tinkerbell Talks.
TinkerbellTalks.com. Right.
So that was really incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And so we hung out and just had a great time. We spent the majority of Sunday last week.
Wait. Before I just have to say this, because this is how awesome she is. So, Tinkerbell, Margaret, as we were getting ready to leave, she looks at me, she goes, well, dear, do you give hugs? Yeah, I think I could hug Tinkerbell. I have no problem with that. That's the kind of person she is. She's just, I'm telling you, she's awesome. So we were grateful that, you know, that the hosts of the meetup were able to ask her to come down and participate in the dinner for us. So it was pretty awesome. I'm telling you, it was pretty freaking awesome. Anyway, so Sunday,
we spent the majority of the morning waiting in line for Radiator Springs Racers.
Yes, we did. It was now, hotter than snot.
Bonding
too,
and talking and trying not to tell the same story over and over or the same joke over and over and over. And so when we went under the tunnel area and it was cooler, I flipped into telling my story about Forest Year's Garden up in Fresno to Clinton.
Oh, nice.
So, anyway.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah. I imagine he looked at me like, are you okay? Because normally when you go under a bridge and you're in the shade, you don't normally say, hey, you know, there's a guy in Fresno that dug into the ground and built his whole house underground. You ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Just people usually don't.
No, they don't. Most people who even live in Fresno and have been there their whole lives don't even know it's there. So.
I could just picture in his mind going, okay.
That's fun.
2 hours with this guy in line. Great. Anyway, so, but that evening, now, I've been a Disney fan for a long time.
Yes.
I know certain names. I've heard Bob Gurr's name before.
Yeah, does anybody in the chat room know who Bob Gurr is? We'll give him a minute to kind of
that's fine.
Check it out.
Well, looks like Paul's here.
Paul in the house. Da Paul in the house. That's
so
awesome.
Yep.
So yeah, we know Paul knows who he is.
Yep. And so it's interesting, you know, kind of doing catch up.
Yeah.
Hi, Terry. Non-creepy hugs through the microphone.
Yeah, really.
Terry. So when you look up Bob Gurr's accomplishments, you need to kind of sit down, because to really kind of go through what he's done, what he's engineered, what he's designed, what he's involved in, is an incredible body of work. The monorail, for one.
Okay, well, the whole point of Bob Gurr, what he is known for, is he is the designer of a very large portion of the vehicles for the rides at Disneyland. So when you look at the Autopia cars, not the new ones, I don't think, well, he might have had a hand in those, but the original Autopia cars and the monorail and the Haunted Mansion and, you know, some of the other rides in the park, he designed those vehicles. Just amazing stuff. And it doesn't stop there. He also designed the original King Kong for the Universal Studios King Kong experience. That was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there at dinner, and, you know, we were told we were going to have a surprise guest. And, you know, I'd heard a little rumor that it could have been him, but we weren't sure. And so, dude, all of a sudden, they're like, oh, yeah, hi, that's Bob Gurr. Okay, then. I had to look him up because I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I love Disneyland. I love Disney. But I don't have, unfortunately, time to read through bios okay. and things. So I'm
I was going to give you a pass on that, but
no,
okay.
I'm going to admit right. it. I'm going to admit right. it openly. I okay. know some names. I know who they are, but I really don't have time to get into. And so I learned about it from hearing about it from other people. And I'm grateful for folks like Paul and Terry who have this information and can share it with us.
So
anyway,
here's what I saw. Bob Gurr's sitting at the end of this table. He was selling his books that he's just written, incredible book.
Oh, yeah.
And telling some stories. And then so Colleen is like reading through what he's done, and just her mouth keeps dropping open, looking at me. Oh, my gosh. You know,
yeah,
so she's
no
quickly kind of getting up to speed.
Yeah.
And it was just such an amazing moment, you know, and again, you know, thanks to Paul for being just so cool and sharing those type of moments. You don't get those type of moments.
No, not normally.
You know, and it's just, it's incredible.
Well, people do get to meet these folks because
right,
they can
true,
go to, like, you know, but, conventions and what have you, and they're there. You get to spend 5 minutes. We were very fortunate, and I'm going to just have to brag a little because this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, mm-hmm. and I just need to talk about it. I went over to, you know, kind of, I wanted to just say thank you, but people were talking to him. So I pulled up a chair and kind of sat there and thought, okay, he'll acknowledge me in a couple minutes, and then I can say what I'm saying, and then I can, you know, we can go and let him go on with what he's doing. I'm not joking. I sat there for about an hour listening to him. He was so fascinating, and he had the greatest stories, and, you know, just, he's very matter of fact, and he's very sassy, and he's very sharp, and he's a really cool guy, you know, and fascinating information. So after that, one of the girls that was with us, she'd hurt her ankle. I think she pulled a tendon or something like that. She was in a wheelchair. So her son is interning over at World of Disney store in downtown Disney. And she was like, I really want him to meet you. And so he said, well, why don't we go over to the hotel lobby? So she looks up at me and she goes, you want to come with us? Yes, please. So we wheeled her over and sat in the Grand Californian Hotel lobby for another half hour, 45 minutes easily, talking with him.
I just want to say this, and I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but I just want to say this. What we do now has been created by creative people long ago,
mm-hmm.
and we should never forget them or that.
Right.
We were walking through DCA. No one recognized him.
Right.
Okay. I understand that a lot of people might not know who he is, what he looks like,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it was almost kind of a real surreal, deep moment walking through an area in which he had a hand in.
Significant hand in.
Creating, putting together, designing. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. And we're both walking along, just walking along. And no one stopped him. It was just, and then, you know, we had this really neat moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of sitting around this table. It's just the coolest guy in the world.
And what's funny is he's 81.
Mm.
And, you know, he's very sweet and he's very sharp. He was, you know, telling stories and things that happened, you know, 50, 60 years ago. And then he pulls out a reference to Justin Bieber and Usher. And I thought that was really cool that he's so aware. He's not just stuck in that. He's so aware of everything that's going on around him. He's very interested in creative people and wants to, you know, he knew, it wasn't like he just passingly, you know, mentioned that. He actually referred to Justin's story of how he got discovered. And it was a lesson for Tracy, the girl that was with us, her son, Brian, because he wanted him, you know, he said, you need to put this name in your, you know, smartphone, you need to contact this man. Cause that's who you want to talk to. You want to go far in this place. That's who you talk to. I mean, he knows his stuff. It was crazy, crazy, crazy awesome. It was absolutely amazing. So he, and again, I mean, I know we're making a big deal, but you have to understand, these two people are Disney legends.
Right.
There, I don't think there are that many legends, and not that many that are still around, and they're going to go down in history for Disneyland as being, you know, I mean, they're amazing. Yeah. And so it was surreal to not only meet one of them for the weekend, it was even more surreal to meet two.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
So many things. We could go on and on, but just one more time, I want to thank Paul and Terry for putting together such a great time that, you know, we had a great opportunity to meet other Disney fans and mingle and eat and talk and have a great time, and also have talking to great legends. So thanks,
I'm telling
Paul,
you, it was one of the most much. Like I said, it was one of the most fun weekends I've had in a very, very long time, and I'm really looking forward to next year.
Yep. So I'm going to change gears for just a little bit, and there's kind of a fun bit of news, and then we'll jump into something else.
Fantastic.
Is the Jennifer Goodwin's name game.
Ooh.
Now, stay with me here. So there was an article in filmnews.co.uk. Mm-hmm. So Jennifer Goodwin was one of several stars to have a code name on the set of He's Not That Into You.
He's just not that into you, yeah.
Well, they messed up in their thing.
Yeah, I know. Just saying.
The actress appeared in the 2009 rom-com, which also featured Jennifer Aniston and Jennifer Connelly. She admits that special measures had to be brought in on the set to distinguish between them. We had to have a code for the three Jennifers on set. Oh, yes, I went by Gigi, as they are my initials. Jennifer Aniston was Jen, and Jennifer Connelly was Jennifer. The address explained to Australian radio hosts Kyle and Jackie O. We have the same issue in Once Upon a Time 2 as we have Jennifer Morrison. I think I have a thing for J names. The 34-year-old actress managed to make the tough transition from movies into TV. She has had success with her role in Once Upon a Time, now filming a second season. Jennifer says, although many actors find it a hard decision to make, for her, it was an easy one. No, it wasn't once I looked at the script. I hadn't been planning to go back into TV. I read some movie scripts, and I hated all of them, to be honest, Jennifer admitted. The state of the movie industry is that unless you're in some major comic book movie, unless you're in a major comic book movie, you're kind of screwed. Then I read through some TV script pilots, and I realized that that's where all the great script writers have gone. They've gone into TV.
Hmm.
That's really kind of a huge thing. And for me, I think the shift started with Battlestar Galactica and Lost.
Yeah.
I think TV really has the meaty roles and the great stories. And, I mean, there's a lot of movies that I've seen that I go, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
fantastic.
True. There have been some movies that are standout and some that are like, I could have waited for the DVD for that.
Comic book films seem to be where most of the money and talent is going.
Right.
So, and I imagine the chat room is ablaze now talking about different
Actually,
things.
Actually, not so much.
Okay.
But maybe we'll be in a moment.
All right. So we have 10 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think I got all the news.
All the news is done?
Yep. I think I'll read an email.
Ooh, an email.
Yep.
We haven't had one of those
She
in
gets
a while.
Silly. She gets
what?
Silly. You. Oh, you get
well,
silly.
Not yet, but give it another few minutes, and I'm sure I will.
Okay, so this. All right. Okay, cool. So this is Daniel. Oh, okay.
Call from
Sarah.
To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
Sarah?
Hi.
Hi, this is Jeff. And Colleen.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Tell me when and how you got hooked on Once Upon a Time. What was the moment where you said?
Well, it all started when I watched Lost, which was actually 1 second.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm back.
No problem. So you said you...
Okay. So, well, I guess it all started back a couple years ago. I was in Australia, and I watched Lost for the very first time and became very obsessed with it. And let's see. Well, that's just, like, it was from the writers of Lost, so... So, like... Sorry, it was very noisy.
No problem.
Yeah, so... Well, I think I heard about the show. I heard about it, like, just the week before, like, the weekend before it premiered. And, like, I heard about this show from the writers of Lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see. Well, I guess I think I watched, like, an interview of Eddie and Adam, like, talking about the show. And so, yeah, I started watching it, and I was hooked right from the beginning.
Now, you... have seen many filming location days when they filmed the show.
Yeah.
And?
Well, once I actually, because I was, like, I became obsessed with the show. Like, I didn't know it filmed here. Like, it took me, like, a couple episodes in, and I'm like, you know, some of this stuff looks a bit familiar.
Hmm.
And I didn't even make the connection until... Like, it was a few episodes in, and it's like, wait a second. They're, like, right there. Like, I can, like, easily go to Storybrooke, and it was just really, like, surreal.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have what looks like Henry's book. Did you make that,
yes,
or did you buy? How'd you get that, if I can ask?
eBay.
eBay.
Ah.
Found it off eBay.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
That is just that is really cool. So
yeah.
So let's see. What was it like to watch the scene of the tree in the middle of the street? I mean, there's just so many weird things that you probably saw, and what was that like when they're filming?
Yeah. I think that day I was there around the afternoon, and they just did one other scene, I believe, before going inside. It was a scene with Jennifer Morrison and some other characters, and that was actually, it got cut from the episode, so we're hoping that will be in the deleted scenes, because mm-hmm. it was a pretty interesting scene. And then, let's see, then they went into the Mr. Gold's pawn shop to do some interiors for a couple hours, and we went into the fish and chips next door and had dinner, and because, like, you can see right out the window from there. Like, it's the perfect spot.
Hmm.
Like, just in case, like, cast members come out, like, you can, like, run outside and see them and talk to them. And but, yeah, let's see. The tree, we saw them, like, they were wheeling out, like, they had, like, a dolly, and they were wheeling out the tree. It was, like, 10:30 at night. And they didn't start rehearsing the scene until, like, 11:30 at night. And it was pretty crazy. There was, like, no one there.
Well, so... I saw a picture of the interior of the Cannery Cafe, which is where Granny's is, and obviously it looks nothing like the show.
No. I mean, I believe, like, the interior for that is done at, like, a sound stage or in studio. Like, they have actually filmed some interior scenes in there. Like, I guess they sort of, like, it makes it look different, like, when you're on watching on TV.
Right.
Because, like, if you actually go inside there, like, you can sort of recognize bits and pieces of it.
Like, I remember, I think it was 7:15. It looks like they shot in Burnaby Studios because they have the interior of Granny's Cafe, and then they have the street outside, but it's done in miniature. So it looks like you're there, but you're in the sound studio. But they had all the interior shots, and then they had a camera shot looking out the window, and that was out the real window. I mean, obviously, because I think that's when
they were looking across the street at a car or something like that. But yeah, you can kind of tell back and forth. But I was shocked because I was like, I want it to look like grannies, and it doesn't look like grannies, and it bothers me. But anyway, so
if you were to go there, I'm sure you would. It would look like grannies to you if you were to actually go at the Cannery Cafe in Steveston.
Yep. Now the other locations aren't really close by, but it's kind of in a certain area pocket. Regina's house and Mr. Gold's house and all that. Have you ever seen any of the forest scenes, like where the Snow White's casket was in the forest, or is that just out there somewhere?
That's sort of, it's interesting that, let's see, well, actually, a couple days ago, I had a pretty amazing experience in Stanley Park, and I walked through Fairytale Land for the very first time ever, and that was pretty amazing.
Wow.
I'm still pretty giddy and excited about that. It was, like, really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now,
but yeah, I'm with the forest Fairytale Land locations. It's sort of like we all appreciate that we can go to the public locations like the Steveston and Fort Langley and the Mayor's House and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like when they go in the woods, they're pretty far out there. Like really, you can go find them. Like lots of the time, we know where they are, but like we don't go because it's sort of like we've never really been told not to go. It's just sort of like an untold sort of respect thing. Like we have an understanding, like they let us see like the shoots in public places and then we don't bug them when they're trying to film in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like that's the Fairytale Land stuff. They don't want that to be spoiled. Like,
right. Like
if you think like the scenes in Steveston and that are like under locks, like pretty intensely, like I guess they want to keep it a secret, but the Fairytale Land stuff in the woods, that's just, it's a whole nother level. Like,
right.
And so we just sort of respect them and not go. We don't bug them when they're in the woods.
Now, Colleen is a big Robert Carlyle fan. What was it?
Oh.
Now, you met Robert, did you not?
Many times.
Oh. Well, okay. So tell Colleen what that was like.
He was just such a nice guy. Like, I'm just going to give you an example. Like, let's say it was about 2 weeks ago. They were filming the first episode. So you were doing actually a really, really, really cool like special effects scene, like, and not just cool as in what the actors were doing, like what we were watching the crew and doing. Like, it was super cool, and I totally just, it was pretty awesome. It was at like really late at night. There was no one there, and they were done that at like 11:30 at night, and all the other cast, like, they're tired. They've been filming all day, and they have to get up early like the next day for filming, but like Robert, he comes over and talks to like all the fans. Like he still like comes over. He always comes over. Like he will always like make a point in coming to visit, like, and chat and take pictures and sign. And
wow. So there you go. You're speechless now, Colleen.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know what I would say to him. I would
humble
really...
guy. Like, he's not like. He's, like, quiet, and he sort of stands there politely and smiles, and he's, like, people are, like, sort of, like, giving him compliments. He's, like, oh, thank you. Like, he's very, like, just so nice, and, yeah.
Now, you met Ian Bailey as well, and...
Yeah, I met him at the finale shoot. That's the only time I've met him.
Wow. And what was he like? This is such a
now
geeky
getting,
interview. This
getting,
is a weird interview.
I know.
What was he like? But, I mean, what was he like?
He was so nice. Like we're just sort of standing around, like, because the finale shoot, there was lots of cast around. But that was also, like, the finale shoot was shot during, I think it was, like, the spring break for lots of the schools. Because they had, like, the most amount of people I've ever seen there. And that's, like, that was the first time when they've ever introduced, like, the barricade and tried to get, like, fans to stay in one spot. Because, like, during most of the season, it was just, like, me and a couple other fans and maybe like a paparazzi guy and it's like, or the diehard people that actually come all the way out there. But like the finale shoot, there were so many people there. Like it was, you'd never seen it before. And but most of the cast, like they were still coming out and taking time to like meet everyone in between and like Eon, like he was like he had these two girls who were like super huge fans of him, and he just talked to them for like 10 minutes, like on the street, like, and yeah, we all talked to him, and he's just really nice, and yeah.
Did I hope the listeners caught what she said? Barricade.
Yeah.
Barricade.
Yeah.
When things.
That was also the first time we had the security guard too. That was new.
Ah, hear that? Mm. See, so, that's why.
So that wasn't anything to do with fans. That's cast security due to a different reason.
Right.
Wow.
But he's still there.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. Here's the big question, Sarah. As a fan, yeah. What is it like when you can basically go out your house, get in your car, and drive and watch your favorite show being filmed? I mean, what's that like?
So awesome. Like, people, I get up at 5 a.m. and drive for an hour to get there.
Uh-huh.
Well, or transit for like an hour and a half to Steveston. Like, Steveston's like the farthest away from all the locations, like for me, but it's just so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And also the thing, like, okay, like I don't know a lot of people that, like, I guess, like the show. Like, I think as the season progressed, I sort of was aware of some more people, like, than I knew. They were like, oh, we watched that show, or, oh, that show, yeah, we watch it. But, like, pretty much no one really knew it, like, filmed here. It's like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It actually films here? And sort of, like, I don't really have, like, the obsessed fans, like, in my immediate friends. Like, I don't really have obsessed fans. But once I was, like, at the sets, there's, like, these other diehard fans that'll get up at, like, 6 a.m. and transit all the way out to Steveston from, like, out where I live. And it's, like, so, like, I've really built friendships with that. And it's just so great to, like, be in storybooks with your favorite show and then have, like, these people who care about it just as much as you do and people I can talk with, like, about the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is so cool for you to share your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one story from season one that's just the one that you'll never forget that you can tell us? That you watched, whatever.
I'd have two, I think. The one thing that I will absolutely never forget, it was in December, the first time I had ever visited the set, like, my very first time, it was in the Fort Langley set, and they were doing the Miner's Day scene, so it was, like, the whole Miner's Day festivities was, like, set outside the City Hall, the Yale building, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, my first time, and I was sort of walking down the street, and like me and my mom, who's a huge fan of the show too, she started sort of coming to visit sets too. And then my sister, who's like, she wasn't there, but anyway, so we're just like walking down this, like, the street, and it's all like the town's all dressed up in storybook, right?
Yeah.
And so we're walking down the street, and Jennifer Morrison and Jennifer Goodwin, they were like walking off like from the other side. They were in like their characters' like storybook costumes, like chatting, and it just felt. It felt like I was in storybook, like, so like I didn't like talk to them or anything, just because I thought it was so cool that I'm just walking by them, like walking past them on the street, like I felt like I was like in an episode, and they were like, because they like walk down the street and chat and stuff, and it just, it felt like I was stepping into the show, like,
wow,
it was amazing.
That is cool.
That is a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, and then I think my other one was during the finale shoot again. It was. There were, like, tons of fans, and I think I was standing with this other girl who I'd met a while ago, who's a big fan like me, and she drives all the way out there to come, or takes transit just, like, all the way to come watch the sets, too. And we were sort of standing in the middle of the street, and there was a whole tons of, like, fans. They were, like, swarmed around, like, Ginny and Josh, I guess, and we're just sort of hanging back, because, like, we've already met them and stuff. And I think Eddie and Adam were, like, standing on the other side, like, right next to each other, like, chatting. And, like, they're in, like, Los Angeles. They don't come to Vancouver. Like, they're not there. But I guess since it was the finale, they were.
Yeah.
It was just super amazing because, like, we walked up to them and talked to them. And, like, they were right there. And we got, like, pictures. But it's, like, really, it was amazing how, like, out of all the fans there, like, no one knows who they are. Like,
yeah.
They're, like, both standing, like, right there. And no one has any clue. They're just swarmed around, like, Vinny and Josh.
Well, wow. I mean, yeah, it is. You mentioned something about the whole spoiler aspect and
taking pictures when they ask you not to post them till after the episode is aired, and we know there are people that do. I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts about that.
That is a pretty big topic. Like, us, the dedicated fans that hang out at the sets, like, we chat about that a lot, and we have, like, well, basically, I think when it was first starting, like, they wouldn't really tell us to not take photos. Like, it was, we were standing, like, on the street with, like, some of the, like, crew members, and we're just taking pictures. But those are scenes where, like, the cast is just walking down the street and talking and stuff. Like, that's, if you remember season one, a lot of the beginning stuff was just walking down the street and chatting, you know, walking to Granny's or wherever, walking. So we're just taking pictures, like, of the cast, like, at the set, and they didn't seem to have any problem with it, like, that. And, of course, we would sort of use our judgment, like, if it is a more bigger set and they still haven't told us, oh, don't take pictures or don't post them, but we sort of know, well, we're not going to post them because it's sort of spoiler, like, we won't post them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as it sort of got more popular, like, I think the bonuses of them having a security guard now, like sure, he's, like, cast security, but, like, he's, I guess, that he can, like, tell people, you know, don't do this, and he looks scary, so people try to listen to him, but... It's sort of, I guess, like, the finale shoot, they were actually trying to, like, step it up more. And, like, that was the first time I've seen them sort of step it up and try to say, do not post pictures until after the episode aired.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, us, the dedicated fans down there, we won't do that. Thing is, I guess the paparazzi, they're still going to be there, right?
Right.
And so, like, even if, like, lots of times you won't see them, they're just, they hide out in the shadows with their insanely long zoom lenses, so you won't see them there. Then when you get home that night, there's all these pictures from the set.
And yeah.
So, let's see, I think, like, really, that's just, they've been, like, that's been going on for so many years. Like, they do all the local shows around here and stuff, and I think it's not like we can generally stop that.
Right.
I just think it's with the fact of the fan sites and stuff, that can all be stopped, and we've been talking about that sort of on the set.
Well, you know, and it's interesting when you bring up the topic of, you know, the cast or the crew especially says, listen, let's not spoil it for everyone else. You can take photos, but don't post them till after the episode is aired.
Right.
That's pretty clear. But, you know, then there's certain people on Twitter that say, no, you could post them, but just put a spoiler tag. That's not the same thing.
No.
And so, you know, it's just, I think pictures especially ruin things. But then it goes on to, I don't know how people get it in a copy of the script and get certain details.
I read stuff that I sort of wish I didn't read.
Yeah, see, yeah. I don't know,
like,
how that gets out.
It's been once in a while. Like, but, like, none of us, like, we've seen stuff before, like, I saw, like, a huge, huge, huge thing from, like, an episode that's coming up that's, like, I think it was, like, two or something, but, like this huge thing. Like, we, like, of course, we haven't told anybody.
Yeah.
Like, us on set there, but really that just shows, like, it's easy for people to, like, come across stuff. Like, I think last season one of the PAs had a couple of, like, call sheets, like, stolen out of their car or something. Like,
wow.
You can't really, like, that happens, I guess.
Wow. And
generally speaking, like, I haven't seen anything, like, scripts or anything released. Like, I've pretty much never seen that happen. So,
yeah, lots
of it's people just making up things that they hear.
Mm-hmm. See,
really, like,
it's crazy.
See,
and especially, like, I think the cast were really strategically, they actually, the first couple episodes of the season, they made it so, like, I think, let's see how to explain this. They were able to do it so the paparazzi thought it was one episode, well, it was a different episode, so lots of the pictures online, they're actually, like, that the paparazzi say are, like, oh, it's these people on this day or this set for episode whatever, they're actually from different episodes, so really in that way, like, that's technically not a spoiler since it's from the wrong episode, right?
Yep. That's actually pretty cool. Colleen and I were talking about the whole call sheet thing, and I'm thinking, that's how in the world could you get a copy of that unless you're leaking information out? But you know,
having it stolen out of the car,
wow,
that's crazy.
Pretty, that's
crazy.
Bad.
And
the thing with the call sheets, like, see, like, the lots of the cat crew have them. And if you want to, like, you want to ask, like, oh, is, like, say, if, is, like, Jennifer Morris.
Sarah.
Yeah?
Come upstairs.
Kate, 1 second. Hang up, please. I'll be up in a
second. No, we're getting cake ready. You have to come upstairs.
Okay, please hang up.
No, and you didn't sign the card. Did you sign the card?
Right, I'll be right up.
Hi, Sarah's friends.
Hi.
That's awesome.
Hi. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, yeah. Those are the junior Once Upon a Time fans in this house.
Yes.
Well, nice.
Fantastic. There's room for all.
Save some cake for us.
Yep. So.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, I just want to thank you for just being so cool to us, and we really, really appreciate you and just your respect for the show, but also, you know, sharing things when it's the right time. And so have a great evening and have some cake, and thanks so much for calling in, okay?
Yeah, I hope to talk to you again soon sometime.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to any time, Sarah, okay?
So, actually, can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking, I forgot to say this before, but I know you've been doing lots of meetups, and you're planning meetups and things, and lots of people are doing set visits and all that kind of stuff. But what I thought was really cool was yesterday, today, and I think tomorrow, like, I don't know if you guys know Fringe. It's a show that's filmed here.
Yep.
But anyway, I guess this is their last season. Mm-hmm. So they've been doing, like, they have this big fan meetup, like, I guess this weekend, and they organized it really cool, and I'm just, like, they have, like, 100 people, like, in Vancouver that are all Fringe fans, and it's just, they did it so well. I'm hoping that we'll be able to do something like that within the next couple years, and hope to get some interest around, if anyone's interested.
That would be
fantastic.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks
I'll
so
talk
much.
To you guys soon.
Yes, we'll talk to you soon, Sarah. Thanks so much for calling in.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Sarah, everybody.
That's awesome.
That was pretty cool. Amazing, actually. So,
yes.
Wow.
So, kind of what we suspected is they've now got security, and they have barricades.
Yep.
So, yep. I'm kind of hoping that people, I know that it might be some paparazzi that are posting these pics online, but I have a very strong, sneaky suspicion that there are some fans that are doing it too. So, anyway, yeah. I hope that people will stop doing that so that we don't lose our opportunities in the future to go up there and watch. Because if they're doing barricades and security now, the next thing that'll happen is walls will go up and nobody will see a thing.
Yep. Yeah, Tordy mentioned the barricades sounds like crowd control for the finale, though. And that's only
Correct.
Because the fans are not following directions. That's what I think.
That's
so,
a possibility,
for what it's worth.
Too. But it seems to me like if more and more people go up there a lot more and more pictures get leaked out, they're going to put up barricades more often is what I'm guessing.
Yep.
That's just, anyway.
So we've gone over a bit, so I'm going to end this show. It's going to be a little long, and then we'll do the after party after that.
Sweet.
And I cannot find the intro music for the after party.
No!
So I want to send big love out to everybody. Again, this was an incredible show. Sarah's, oh my God, I can't even, just so over the moon. So big love to everybody who shares your Saturday evening with us and downloads it later and listens on the plane and listens on the car.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I never, ever, ever take it for granted, and I appreciate you. So we'll be talking to you soon. See you guys.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.